Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much again for spending most valuable resource, your time with me on the show. I've got a very, very exciting show for us today with a great guest. Just a reminder that all of our past shows, 750 podcasts, can be accessed along with all of our programs. We have an entire educational platform there that help everyone across the world, all of our community members, achieve self-reliance through these educational programs. So we've got that on there along with community resources and tools. Cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. I'm honored today to have Vijit Leka with me. He is the president of Liberland, and I promise that'll be the only time that I've tried to pronounce your last name. We were joking beforehand. Vijit, thank you so much for coming to the show and joining me on the show.
It's a great pleasure to be with you, MC, you know, and it's very much in line what we are doing, the self-sustainability. It's very good to start with your own country.
Exactly. And that's why I've always enjoyed really interesting people that is involved in fascinating projects and fascinating things, what they do. And you are definitely in that category, my friend. So you are involved in unbelievable things. So this has been, I've been very excited to talk to you. But for our listeners and viewers that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please just give them a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Yeah, some 6 years ago, we started a new country between Serbia and Croatia. It's a beautiful piece of land, 7 square kilometers, and we founded it on the principles of liberty. You know, we started the country on the 13th of April. It was the birthday of Thomas Jefferson. We really wanted to invoke the spirit of American Revolution. We felt there is a Tea Party, global Tea Party rising, and that we can actually build it up into a new nation that will refresh the ideas of the American Revolution. And I think we are quite successful so far. We've got 700,000 people that applied for citizenship. And we are doing some amazing projects all around the world. Now we've got representative offices in more than 100 countries around the world. And that means we are a little bit better represented than average European country, actually, at this point.
Fantastic. So you founded a country. We've had a lot of business owners of starting businesses and startups and real estate portfolios. Avid, you founded a country. So there was a piece of land that was not really part of Serbia, not really part of Croatia, right? And you saw an opportunity to build something aligned with the libertarian philosophy and the philosophy of freedom. I love it that it originated on Thomas Jefferson's birthday because, you're really trying to bring back all of these ideas. And I couldn't think of a more important time to talk about freedom, the philosophy of freedom, the philosophy of self-reliance, independence, voluntarism, libertarianism and so forth. Maybe you can speak to that and how, you know, the importance of that right now, especially in maybe some comments on the world that we're living in.
Well, you know, we are, of course, in this spiral of statism that, you know, I've been thinking for many years how to challenge it, how to try to turn it around. I started my education portal and got some 20 million views on that one. And we started a political party in Czech Republic and we managed to get into European Parliament with it. But then I realized that even if we had majority in European Parliament, we still wouldn't be able to change the course of the history, which is more taxes and more regulation. And I was just thinking, yes, you know, this process actually really needs to be refreshed from once in a while, and things need to be built from the bottom up. It needs to be restarted, so-called, in order to work. And it's much, and I at some point I found out it's much easier to start a new country than to fix an old one.
It's quite incredible because you saw it from the inside. I think that's an important insight also from your background for our listeners and viewers. You saw you were inside the belly of the beast, if you will, and saw exactly what this looks like, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, when you realize that on every single meeting, for example, of European Parliament, some 5,000 new pages of legislation are built into the legal system, and these guys are meeting like every 2 months, and they have no chance to read it in these 2 months, right? They're constantly putting together more pieces of regulations that they are even able to read. Then you just think, okay, maybe maybe it's time, you know, we really have to rethink the process. And you know, this process, by the way, it doesn't seem to be stoppable. You know, this is going to go on. And basically, we really need some sort of seeds of liberty to be seeded in the middle of the process, which is more like a bulldozer.
Yeah, and it falls in line with some of the solutions that we've discussed on the show. You know, we talk about the behemoth of government that is just, I mean, look at the past 18 months. I mean, you've literally have people that have been locked inside of their houses. That's talk about the beast. It's on your doorstep now, essentially. And this is all over the world, right? This is Europe. This is North America, Latin America, Australia, Asia, and so forth. And as you mentioned, there comes a point where it's like, we've seen people try to get into governments. Here in the United States, we had, for example, Congressman Ron Paul, which I know you're familiar with and you've enjoyed his company. You know, we've had people that step up to the plate, that try to play along with the system, to get inside of the system, to expose some ideas, but essentially the momentum is just too much on the other side. There's the deck is stacked against you. So the solutions are, what do? Well, you take your freedom, like they did in 1776, like Thomas Jefferson and Franklin and so forth, and you take it through living free in an unfree world, you know, to quote Harry Brown, and decentralize yourself. And you essentially saw an opportunity with this piece of land, Liberland, which is quite incredible. So it's a small sliver, but essentially it's been recognized too. Maybe you could speak to that as well, and the process of getting the recognition internationally for Liberland.
Well, interestingly enough, some 3 years ago, you know, we decided that we're going to support this country called Somaliland between basically Ethiopia and Somalia. And it's also basically struggling for international recognition. We went there, we signed the deal with them, and I was basically the first president ever to visit the country, which was a big, big honor. It was all over the state media. And but for us, you know, I saw it as a symbolic way to also show that there are countries which are fully functional. They have all the elements of statehood, yet for strange reasons, the world doesn't recognize them and doesn't kind of do business with them directly, which is interesting because Somaliland is much more stable than Somalia. They don't have any security issues. It is a very nice country. So I thought that it would be kind of symbolic. But meanwhile, you know, we are working with regular UN countries. We got recognized by one last year, and we are heading for another recognition this year. Not the biggest countries in UN, but we're slowly getting into becoming more recognized country. But to be honest with you, like, the international actually says that the existence of state is independent from recognition by other states, right? So it is the existence of the state is basically a state of mind, right? It's state of mind of the people. If they believe the state exists, it does exist. That's the true nature of the statehood. And so the more the internally Liberland is functional, the more it can be a good example for the rest of the world how country can be governed. The faster are we going to be recognized by the rest of the world.
Gotcha.
But you know, we are not really relying on that. The most important is that Liberland works as a country.
Exactly. And I love it how, I mean, we've seen fascinating things happen over the past 5 years and even in the last couple of months. Look at what El Salvador did with the recognition of Bitcoin as legal tender, which is a huge move already. So things that people didn't think were possible years ago, all of a sudden are now very, very possible, especially if you have very determined and persistent folks such as yourself and your teams building something. And this is what I'm excited about, because as I mentioned, we've had folks on talk about how to start a business, grow a business, and so forth. Now we're speaking with someone that started a country. So there's a couple of priorities right now. So Liberland is there. Maybe you could talk about the priorities. And I know you wanted to talk about getting governing structures in place. And then we're going to touch a little bit on virtual Liberland and the physical settlement of it. But maybe you can talk about that. I mean, the process of starting this, how was it? How was this done? And then we'll get to the priorities currently.
Anyway, we ran into Liberland. We stick the flag there, but we didn't have a constitution at the time. And luckily, you know, there was this constitution lawyer, Kacper Zajac, that did a great job on the initial draft of the constitution only a couple months after the creation of Liberland. We really had a hardcore libertarian constitution, which learned all the mistakes from the American development or development of the American constitutional system. So I'm kind of proud on that initial draft. But what we did recently with some constitutional experts from Europe, we are basically improving that even, I would say, even better and combining it with the latest blockchain technologies. I think there is a time when government can run completely transparently on top of a decentralized blockchain platform. And we have chosen the Polkadot, basically technology, not the Polkadot blockchain, but the Polkadot technology.
MC Lobshire, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
And we are building on top of that because it seems it is really the right solution for Liberland to run the system of courts, budgeting, the Liberland Congress, basically all these institutions, which of course are very limited in what they can do. Like Liberland is supposed to only take care of security, justice, and diplomacy, leave the rest of the things to the private entrepreneurs. Right. And we are even looking into basically decentralizing, for example, police. We want to Uberize it. You think about it, you know, that you just sign in your app and you can also become policeman in Liberland if you have some sort of qualification. And we are also now actually discussing how the justice system can even be further decentralized rather than having a centralized structure of the courts. I'm still not sure about diplomacy, how to decentralize it properly. I think that has to be kind of centralized in order to have the one voice when representing the country. But, you know, those are the two elements, having a strong kind of ideological libertarian ideology behind the governance and having the best technology out there to combine it with. I've been seeking that. The technology wasn't there when Liberland started. It's now actually available. So we are working to get it in place and combine it with those principles that we really see fit. And maybe I can just elaborate on a couple more details. You know, we took some elements of Swiss democracy as well. So the citizens can veto any decision by the government. We do have a meritocratic system. That means the more you pay taxes, the bigger is your vote, which I think is another important element which needs to be improved. And yes, we do have a small element of let's say, a monarchy in a sense that not just constitutional court, but also president can veto the new rules, because we really believe the less rules the society has, the better it's going to do. So the government can create new laws, but there are three things that can veto it: the citizens, the president, or the Senate, actually, is the similar entity, and also the Constitutional Court.
So the president, the Senate, the citizens, and the Constitutional Court can veto.
Yes, there are three ways how to get rid of the laws, and there is only one way to create them, and that is created by Congress, which is a highly competitive system of governance based on the number of merits, basically, that people have. So it has kind of a corporate governance structure, but it does have these limits in what you know, there are different elements that can stop the decisions by government, which I think is just fine, and it's going to work well. It is that right type of balance between these different elements of governance, and you know, and our powers are also separated. So the citizens themselves, they actually act like validators. So they are the ones that are confirming the transactions or what is happening on top of Liberland governance, independently from Congress or independently from courts. So the court and the court system and the governance system is divided. So we have a division of powers, which I think has proven to be a correct system of running things as well.
And this is all done on blockchain, right?
This is all done on blockchain. And we have finally the technology got there, so we can actually do this on blockchain. We are using some of the maybe 60% of pre-coded things, and we added some 40% of what we need to build. And it's actually, we do have already the alpha version of that in place, and it's working. So it's happening, and I think we will be able to launch it in October, and the proper launch will be with the 7th anniversary of Liberland.
So essentially, the constitution in place, the ideology, the philosophy behind it is in place, and then you've got the division of powers, and then, I mean, I like the fact that even, you know, the citizens can veto any proposed legislation. I mean, can you imagine that was available in all of the countries in the world right now, where anyone could just go on and say, nope, we're not having that. we're not putting up with that. So it brings a representative of all the citizens back, right?
Sadly enough, it really is actually only available, as far as I know, in Switzerland, right? No other country has really put this in place, and it works well. Unlike referendums that You know, sometimes citizens are coming up with stupid ideas and they're pushing it through referendum. The public veto cannot do any harm. It basically only protects, you know, the citizens from being robbed by the government in some way or another. And basically it is a best way to assure status quo, that you allow citizens and other different stakeholders to basically stop the decisions by the government. I would never underestimate the amount of new crazy stuff that the government wants to put in place, no matter how libertarian are its members.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe you could talk to the taxes too, because you mentioned taxes, but that's essentially voluntary, right?
You've got a voluntary tax system. And I think that is number one advancement of Liberland. You know, we really need to get into that situation where the interaction between the state and citizens is based on voluntary basis. You become subject to Liberland jurisdiction, but you are not subject to Liberland taxation when you basically become part of Liberland. It's your own will when you decide to contribute to some particular project. You, of course, raise your reputation, you raise your merits, you raise your vote, basically, in the society, but we are not going to push you to do that.
Gotcha. So essentially, it's if you compare it to the online world these days, where a lot of folks have platforms, if you find that, let's just say someone has a platform and they put things out that provides a ton of value for you, you can contribute to them through PayPal or, you know, Subscribestar or Patreon and all these different things. So essentially, the citizens, the more value they find, you know, then they can essentially pay, you know, volunteer and say, I found this valuable, so I'll contribute some money towards that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like some of the articles basically titled us as a crowdfunding country, which I think is kind of correct. You know, if we need to do something, we basically ask the citizens to chip in. And that gives them, again, a little bit more decision-making in the next round. But this kind of crazy idea of one citizen, one vote, and doesn't matter if basically you steal $10 million from the state budget or you pay in taxes $10 million, I think it is really kind of unfair in many ways. And we are giving one citizen, one vote in the referendum to get rid of the new laws. But the creation of the laws should be really in hands of the people that are making the country reality, which I think is fair.
Yeah. Let's talk about virtual Liberland, because you'd mentioned that. And there's already, you said, 700,000 applications for citizenship to Liberland. Or maybe you could talk about the virtual Liberland and what's going on with that project.
Well, we do have some 1,300 architects that applied for citizenship. It's serious architectural base. I think outside of some World Architectural Association, we are probably the second largest, you know, union of architects like that. And we have some really big names like Patrick Schumacher, the CEO of Zaha Hadid, and many other actually big names. And thanks to them and thanks to their initiatives and thanks to Daniela's initiative, Daniela Gartovici, she's been working on this for 2 years. Now we are building the whole Liberland into virtual space with some latest technology. And maybe you heard about things like Decentraland or Somnium Space. So we want to build up on these ideas, but we actually want to use it as a cyber urban incubator for Liberland. We want to make sure that the things that are happening in virtual reality will also be built later on in Liberland itself. And we want to basically start utilizing these great new technologies, which virtual reality allows us to do. So Liberland will be actually in two places. It will be built in virtual reality, where everybody will be able to understand and condition access it. And we're going to build it in the physical place here between Croatia and Serbia. And I'm actually only 5 kilometers away now on the boat, which will shortly depart to Liberland.
Fantastic. Yeah. And let's talk about the physical settlement. What is going on with regards to that? Because I think that's the third piece of the priorities that you guys currently have.
Well, right now we just finished the second round of architectural competition, and I've got the biggest commercial Serbian TV coming down to do a report on it. And we've got some amazing suggestion how Liberland can be developed. So you know, we are working on that, but it might take a while until we reach a peaceful agreement with Croatia, where we still are a little bit unstable on their side. They don't claim the territory of Liberland, but we know they have a problem with the starting building over there. So we need to get to that level. We need to basically make sure that we are in good relations with our neighbors before we start building. But we also want to know exactly what we want to start build, and it's coming into fruition. The Zaha Hadid, one of the most famous architectural studios, again, these guys are helping us with the final proposal for urban design. We are building everything basically in this virtual world, which we can connect to. And right now we are preparing the final urban design for Libeland itself. And meanwhile, also we are making sure that we are well present here. So I'm 2 kilometers away from the resort.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Which we're building like a small liberal and eco village, which everybody will be able to visit. And by the way, we do have a festival on 12th of August. Anybody who wants to visit here in Serbia and only very close to Liberland itself, there will be a big Liberland festival called Floating Man. And, you know, it'd be lovely to have you here as well, or at least virtually have you here. And we are going to basically showcase how Liberland could look like. It is only one person size. It's 7 hectares. Liberland is 700 hectares. So it's 1% of the size of Liberland, but we will showcase what the physical development of Liberland could be like. And I'm really excited about this project. There is a beautiful lake as part of the property, and there are some great architects that also already got involved and are working on these conceptual designs. And I hope next year around this time we will already have first building standing there and people can come and visit. And there will be nice museum about liberty ideas, and there will be a small spiritual center, etc. So it will be a beacon of our presentation here in the region. But it's not the only project. We're also building houseboats, beautiful houseboats that we are going to use to settle Liberland. And we are also building a free trade zone. So Liberland companies can utilize the free trade zone status here in Serbia. So they don't have to pay VAT. They don't have to pay customs, which is also pretty cool. You know, somebody who is thinking, for example, about reallocating their business outside of US or outside of China for different reasons. We've got the cheapest electricity here, cheapest labor, no customs, no value added tax. So it is a pretty cool place to start your business already, even without building in Liberland.
And the medium of exchange, the money, maybe you could talk about the monetary system a little bit and the medium of exchange there, because essentially that is at the root of the global mess that we're currently in.
Well, I think, you know, we were, of course, the first country to accept Bitcoin as a currency. So I mean, already in 2015, I was a little bit, you know, unhappy about the messaging from El Salvador. If somebody look into history, Liberland was accepting Bitcoin as a legal tender from the day one of its creation. And you know, we're, of course, it helped us a lot in the middle of the process when we started Liberland. When we started Liberland, the Bitcoin was $260. Now it's $36,000. So it's more than 1,000x that it went up in the process. It was a big move up. And we were, you know, also big on Ethereum. I'm really keen that Vitalik is one of our supporters. You know, I'm happy that Roger Ware, the Bitcoin Cash supporter, is with us, and he's heavily supporting us for many years. So we are also hub for all these kind of cryptocurrency and blockchain supporters and enthusiasts and entrepreneurs. And, you know, and I really hope that Liberland becomes the crypto hub of Europe.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, this could be like the new Switzerland/Hong Kong/Singapore, right? Eventually.
That's our target, you know, and we want to be the crypto center, as well as the center of all these new technologies that are coming. But I'm not pushing it. It's happening because Liberlanders are kind of forward thinking nation. And, you know, if you join us online, for example, for the conference, you will see all kinds of very cool projects that are happening under Liberland banner all around the world in these areas.
Yeah, there is so much innovative things going on and incredible ideas and creative ideas with involved with Liberland. That's why I'm just, it's very exciting stuff to see what people can come up with. And it's a testament to the human spirit and to people, right? Like in a time of just craziness globally, where you see draconian governments all around the world, you still have these folks that are creative, that are dreamers, but also doers, busy working on fascinating stuff. It's almost like, it reminds me of that little piece of a utopia in Atlas Shrugged, where all of the producers and creators would fled to, right? The Gulch.
Yeah, we've got something like this for Europe here. You know, I think it's actually very important to build it here because there is the biggest contrast. And yes, this area is one of the lowest salaries, with biggest unemployment. So this is a big contrast in what we are doing, and it's very much needed to support the development of here. We've got almost 500,000 people leaving this region in last 10 years, and Liberland is bringing 700,000 people back, right? It's kind of crazy, but that's exactly what we're doing.
What are some of the big challenges, Vid, that you have encountered and that are still lies ahead? Because there's obviously a lot of challenges to this and any taking on any project or endeavor such as this.
I think, to be honest with you, number one challenge right now is mosquitoes, but we do have the best technology out there also to deal with them. So Liberland is in this area where we've got some mosquitoes, and some summers are okay, but some summers are a little bit harsher. And so we are building up these new technologies here in the free trade zone to deal with them. So that's one challenge. The relations with Croatia, that's a bit of a challenge as well. So we're working on that separately. And relations with EU and relations with Germany, for example, where we still need some work. So, and internally, of course, it's not that easy to start a new country. You're relying on a lot of like personal relations internally that have to be on the same level or same vibe. And it has been, of course, challenging throughout the time, but I'm happy, I've got a great team with me after the 6 years and people that I can rely on, people that actually are really diligent. Well, I don't know, like Thomas Walls, a former US diplomat, or Tariq Abbasi, who is a representative of British Queen, now Secretary of State. So really high-ranking diplomats are helping us to get Liberland recognized and functioning.
And that's the big thing, which will the recognition, like you said, not that matters, because it's all dependent on the confidence and the mindset of folks, but eventually that will help to speed it along and the inclusion of it, right?
Of course, the better people we have in with Liberland, the better for the speedy recognition and speedy development of Liberland.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the things that you're studying and learning right now? Because you're a student of history and of philosophy and so forth, and you're always learning. What are some of the things that you're studying and learning to help you through this or assist you on this journey?
Well, of course, I've been a big pupil of Mises, of Bastiat. Rothbard is my favorite author as well historically. But right now I'm a little bit more in existentialism. That's kind of my topic recently. I found this great author called Kostka in Czech Republic, who is actually the smartest guy on the planet with 206 IQ. So I do basically do a little bit more philosophy and a kind of spiritual development recently more than before. And maybe it's, I think when this kind of the governance thing was closed, I'm still looking into more into purpose of the things and more into long-term visions. So that's how I kind of west myself recently. If I have a time, I even went back to studying Bible, to be honest with you. It's kind of fun and interesting to get back into it after also maybe like 20 years since I didn't open it last time. Not that I'm overly religious, but I really studied for the curiosity of understanding some of the things that I couldn't understand. Maybe 1 year ago, they didn't make any sense to me. Now they make much more sense.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It really, if you do study the Bible, it puts a lot of things into perspective right now, because it's a spiritual battle also that I believe truly that the world is finding themselves in. And I don't think a lot of people have realized.
Let me just be a little bit more concrete. Actually, I went into the Gnostic text. I'm looking into the original Bible text. I'm looking into the Dead Sea Scrolls, which that's a complete completely different story than the Bible that we are reading, right? And funnily enough, like a lot of the texts were actually preserved in the original, and they are well translated. And the story, for example, about apocalypse is completely different there than in all the translated and used versions, right? The Dead Sea Scrolls, basically apocalypse, basically is portrayed in a completely different fashion. The creation, for example, in Nag Magati scrolls, which were found in 1947, it's also portrayed in a completely different fashion. And it's really interesting to look into this, you know, for people especially that are religious. Just look into the original sources of the Bible. Don't take the 10th translation after 7th religious councils. Look into the original ideas of Christianity.
No, absolutely. It's, when you have a lot of chefs in the kitchen, all of a sudden the recipe can change a little bit over time, right? So absolutely. Now, a core message in our Soviet is to leave our families and communities and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations. And you're definitely working on this. Although we cover money a lot in the show's a lot more than just about money. If you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
My friend Brian Page has created a cash flow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB.
I would definitely mention our motto, which is to live and let live. I think it really does, have a lot of inner wisdom to it, you know, and I do believe that, you know, the idea of, you know, the basically the principles behind the New Testament are something really that should be looked into more deeply as well. Just when somebody slaps you, don't slap him back. Follow your path through. Don't let yourself to be basically distracted by it, because you're going to get there. It just doesn't make sense to fight back. It's much better to start from scratch than trying to fight the existing things.
Absolutely. Very, very good stuff. Where can folks learn more about you? Where can they learn more about Liberland and all the amazing projects that you're involved in? And also, where can they get a link if they want to look into that online conference or that online event that you were talking about? Where can they find that?
Well, definitely you can go to liberland.org and sign up as e-resident. That's our e-residency program, which allows you with very little money to become basically a member of our community, and you can start Liberland companies and use other services connected to it. And it takes only, I don't know, 5 minutes. It's probably the best way. And then you get all the updates. Or if you just want to join us for the conference, then it's floatingman.ll.land. It is, it is the website, but you can also find it on liberland.org. If you go there, that's the last article there.
Fantastic. Well, this has been a pleasure having you on just having this conversation. And I think my listeners and viewers are going to find this fascinating. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and everything about this very exciting project that you're involved with.
Thank you very much, MC. It was a great pleasure. I hope to see you here sooner or later.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And thank you for you, the listener, that spend your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.